Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Sweet hour of prayer. Did you ever been in that time when you prayed and when you done, it felt sweet? Have you ever been in that situation? It was like, Lord, I'm so glad I have talked to you. Oh, I've been there many times. Many times. You know, I'd put it this way. How many times I've been so blessed with those sweet hours of prayer? Sometimes when someone is away from the Lord, or someone you're not walking in the ways of the Lord, and you pray earnestly, and you see that prayer be an answer. It is a sweet feeling. I don't know if you've ever been there. All right. If you could stand and turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 18. We're going to look very quick. I choose to change the song because we're having those series on the church. But I choose, like, let me give a little small message tonight, because we have a meeting tonight, so we won't be here for until 8 hours of the night. I know tomorrow everybody's going to work, but anyway, try to be sensitive to those things. You know, because I have to go to work myself. All right, so Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2. Let me get my Bible there. I'm sorry. Okay, there we are. I'm almost there. Okay, there it is. Okay. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about, the snares of death prevent me. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the words of David here, words of encouragement, that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. And help us, Lord, today, that we get encouraged, Lord, not only with the meeting you're about to have, but we encourage one another in the Lord, and we, even when we're alone, Lord, we encourage ourselves in you. I pray, Father, bless the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So when discouragement hits home, you ever been discouraged? Oh, goodness. I think all of us been in that ocean. I think all of us suffer from that. Goodness, how many times you are working hard, you're sweating, you give your all, and you expect like, hey, good job. And instead of good job, you get critiqued. You ever been there? It's hard to swallow, isn't it? And you just, Lord, I did the best that I could, and that's what I get in return. I mean, I think all of us been there. And how we deal with that, we have the Lord. Life is full of discouragements. If you look at our political world right now, you can be very discouraged. Where are we heading as a country? It can be very discouraging. You can be discouraged for all kinds of issues. Maybe a job situation. Maybe, you know, somebody in your home not walking the right way with the Lord. Maybe your kid, I don't know. It's all kinds of discouragements. But I think the greatest discouragement, even all this, those discouragement, is when you give you all. And instead of, hey, I appreciate your work, I appreciate what you did, is critique. People criticize you instead of saying, hey, job well done. I mean, I live long enough, and I tell you, experience this long enough. It happened in many situations of life. It happens in the workplace. It happens in the home. It happens with your best friends. It happens everywhere. And let me tell you, we have a man here, David. He says, in my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry unto the Lord. You heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Are you discouraged, like I said? Are you beaten down by your situation in life, causing you to be totally discouraged? You know, we can look at people. And it happened to me. I confess, let's put it right here, walking with a smile, being kind to people, and you totally discouraged. You know what I mean? You smile to everybody. You tell people everything is okay, and nobody even suspected anything. But deep down, only God and you know that you totally bankrupt, discouraged. I mean, I think all of us been there. Discouragement can be a vicious enemy to the point of causing us not to want to live any longer. Life is hard for all of us, and discouragement is sometimes something that, unfortunately, we experience from time to time. I don't know if you've ever been in a point that you say, I don't want to live anymore. That's deep discouragement. That's distressed, discouraged. And sometimes the issues of life causes us to think that way. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. If I fall off the scene, nobody will even miss me. That is total discouragement. And unfortunately, many people feel that way. I don't preach in the Providence Rescue Mission right now. It's been a while since I preached there. But I tell you, the time that I was there, I met people like that. I met people that were totally bankrupt, totally discouraged, totally give up on life. And you would say, you try to encourage, listen, you have a place to sleep here, you have basic food, basic needs, you're going to be okay. But it's easy for us to say that looking at them. It's hard if we're in the same situation, it's hard even to picture that, because when you're there, then it's you now. I met many people like that. So let's look at the fruit of discouragement, the first point right there, very quick. Look at verse 6, what it says. And it says, in my distress I call upon the Lord. So like a disease, discouragement has its symptoms. They are very easy to detect and easy to get rid of it. So when we're discouraged, discouragement is like this disease has symptoms. It tells you, and people can tell, but sometimes we are good actors. And we put this mask and nobody sees. But body motions can tell. If you know how to read people, you can tell by their walk, by their talk, by their face, something's going on. I can tell when my wife was having a problem. nothing. Yeah, well, okay, you can tell me nothing, but I know something's going on over there. I know you long enough. I know my kids are the same way. You know, they can walk and hide it. But I mean, I tell you what, I you have to know to read people. But sometimes, you know, you respect them when you ask them, is anything wrong? Are you discouraged? And they'll say, oh, no, everything is okay. Sometimes you have to respect them. But discouraged has the symptoms. First one, it brings stress. Stress gets worse as discouragement increases. So we see David right here, he's totally stressed out. He's discouraged. He's beaten down. But one of the symptoms of discouragement or deep discouragement, a person gets stressed out. And today it seems like there's a thing that people even run to doctors. I'm stressed out. In my job, people get stressed out all the time. They just don't want to work. But that's a different story for another time. But anyway, discouragement stresses us out. We're so beaten down, discouraged. You ever been so discouraged that you wind up with a headache? And it doesn't go away. And it's like right here in the back of your head. And it tenses your muscles and it goes down to your back. And you just say, I'm all stressed out. Well, you first of all, you're discouraged, you're beaten down, and your body is showing you. Telling you, listen, cheer up. Wonder why the Lord tells us to cheer up, to be happy, and to be joyful. It's because being stressed out and discouraged is not good for us. Number two, discouraged gives up. No longer moves forward, either stops or moves backwards. That's what discouraged does. It doesn't cause us to move forward. So when you're encouraged, you're like the ultimate warrior, right? It doesn't matter who comes to life, you conquer those things. And when you conquer that mountain, you go, what's the next one? Or what's the next one? But when you're discouraged, guess what? Even the first mountain is hard to climb. In midway, you just want to give up. You look down and you say, well, I'm just going to fall. You don't look up and say, I'm going to reach up. So it brings stress. It gives up. And number three, it sees things from a worse perspective. When you're discouraged, we see things from a worse perspective. I used to play sports. I used to be an encourager to the guys. my coach used to say, well, we have the second coach in the field. But it's like, we're losing by, I used to play soccer. I that was the game, major game that I played. But you're losing by 3 or 4. And how you encourage yourself. I mean, 3 or 4, in soccer, 5 goals is a big mountain to climb. Believe me, big, but 2 goals already a big mountain. But how you climb that mountain? Well, if you give up, then you can tell you're defeated. You give up, the rest of the team gives up, and the rest is history, you lost. But if you encourage yourself, you can fight against that mountain. But usually, it's what happens. When discouragement comes in, it gives up. We give up on life, we give up on friends, we give up on God, we give up in church, give up in His Word. When we discourage, we give up on everything. And with the discouragement comes the excuse. And deep inside the sin, the disease is discouragement. Number 4, it loses hope. That's the fruit of discouragement. We lose hope. Hope in what? When we lose hope in tomorrow, about tomorrow, we lose hope on people. We lose hope on us, ourselves. We lose hope on God because we totally beat down, discouraged. Number 2, the fountain of encouragement. 2 things that the psalmist tells here in this verse as he finds the fountain of encouragement. Now think about for a second, who is the author of the psalm and who's writing the psalm? He is a king. He's a guy that has everything money can buy. And you say, we say to ourselves, man, if only I had money, all how happy I was, and all the things that I could do. I know many people who's rich and have a lot of money. Guess what? They're not very happy. They're very unhappy, actually. Money solves a lot of problems, but money doesn't give you some joy that you are searching for. It solves a lot of problems, don't get me wrong. And it's good to have money to pay our bills, isn't it? But the fountain of encouragement. Number 1, David right here, he called upon the Lord. Look, it says in verse 6, it says, in my distress, I call upon the Lord. So he was discouraged, beaten down, and guess what he did? He didn't go to the guy next door. He didn't go to his friends, and he didn't go on Facebook and put his problem there so everybody can put a like and give an input. I love to see those things on Facebook. Sometimes I don't want to interact. I just watch and I laugh. You got a problem. Just put it on Facebook so everybody can cheer you up. It's going to really, and then you get more upset because you don't like the criticism. So in my distress, what he did, I call upon the Lord. Sometimes, you know, in our discouragement, we just got to give it to God. And then sometimes there are problems in life that never get solved. But you know what? We just keep on giving to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to let this thing beat me down. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to enjoy your word. I'm going to enjoy the blessings that you put in my life. And this problem is there, Lord. If it's your will, fix it. If it's not your will, then be it. But Lord, I'm not going to let this thing beat me down. And we all have problems of life like that. All of us. All of us have skeletons in the closet. And sometimes we want to just push it in there. We don't want to ever see those things. But he called upon the Lord. Number 2, he cried unto the Lord. Look what it says in verse 6. Cry unto my God. See, there's a relationship right there. He says, my God. So obviously, David knows his God. He has a relationship with him. But he says, in my distress, guess what he does? He cries unto God. Listen, did you ever been beaten down, discouraged with a load of so much thing on your mind and in your heart, and you just go before the Lord, you close the door in your room, whatever you are, and you just talk to God, and you just cry out to Him, and when you leave, you're relieved. You ever been there? It was just me. I tell you what, when I was battling cancer, all the sweet conversation, the sweet hours of prayer that I had with the Lord, I was not afraid of dying. Be honest with you. I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going. It was my family. Lord, what's going to be with my family? What's going to be with my kids? And I told the Lord many times, Lord, you know my greatest desire. I'm being honest with you. I want to age and be of old age with my wife. And she can go ahead of me because I don't want to leave her behind. I want she to go ahead of me so I can go after. Because this thing about taking care of our loved ones. But the sweet hours of prayer, I'll cry unto the Lord. And David right here is crying unto God. And sometimes in those, when we're so discouraged, let me tell you, we're so discouraged, we can talk with our friends, we can call them, and believe me, there are people that try to help you, they pray with you, but deep inside we're still not satisfied, we're still beaten down. And now let me tell you why, in those times, that's when we need God the most. There are situations of life that only God understands. Human beings don't understand. People can give you all kinds of stuff, but deep down in our hearts, we need God. We need to talk to Him. Because there are situations in our life, they're painful. They're hurtful. They're there. There's like a knife just like so close to our heart and just pokes on it and pokes on it. And it doesn't matter how much you talk to people or friends or family, it doesn't help. And we beat down, discouraged. And guess what? We need the Lord. And let me tell you, if you're not discouraged today, don't be surprised, because you can be discouraged tomorrow. And sometimes it doesn't take much. You walk to work tomorrow and somebody comes to you, blah, 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 and that's it. Here goes your day. And you beat down, discouraged for the rest of the day. It happens. I've been there. It happens. You come joyfully singing the songs of Zion and you get to work and boom. And you go, oh, I wonder what I came to work for today. You're already discouraged. So the blessings, number three, the blessings of encouragement. Look at verse 6. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry unto my God. You heard my voice out of his temple, out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. So, number one, God hears our cry. When we cry to God, God hears us. If you don't have the no sin between you and the Lord, he hears you. You know why? Because he loves you enough. He wants to encourage you in his word. Number two, God listens to our cry. Not only God hears our cry, God listens to our cry. Because he listens to different words. And we have to understand these two. He says, my cry came before him, even into his ear. So God went like this and said, child, I'm listening to you. In these verses, we see David admitting being discouraged, being beaten down by the issues of life. Something that all of us experience from time to time. But that blessed my heart that David knew that he could encourage himself in the Lord. And believe me, it's all type of discouragement. It's all issues, and not everybody has issues in life. The thing is, when you are discouraged, you have a great God that loves you and cares about you, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord like David did. Number four, the optimism of encouragement. Almost done. Most of the time, an encouraged person is a very optimistic person. In other words, when we are encouraged, we look at life with great optimism and great perspective. When we get discouraged, our life is like doomsday. You know, everything looks bad. Everything is like, you know, it's like, is that character, I love that character from, I'm not trying to imitate him, but from Winnie the Pooh. If you watch Winnie the Pooh, the Eeyore, oh well, I go down the river, and there's a fall, and if I, that's okay, I'll make it to the bottom, and maybe I'll survive, and go. It's like, you know, when you discourage, that's how pessimist we become. You know, it's not because, it's because the situation we are in, we just give up. And whatever, I don't care anymore, that's what we come down to. But when we are encouraged, we are optimistic of our life. I'm not really crazy about Tigger. Tigger is one of those guys that makes you laugh when you don't want to laugh. You know, he's always jumpy. And jumps for everything. So, you know, there's some people out there that they're laughing for anything. And if you were them in the same room, guess what happened? You end up laughing. You don't know why you're laughing. And you go, why are you laughing? I don't know. And then you're laughing. So I'm not really crazy about that guy. But I like to be joyful. I mean, it's good to be. So the optimism of encouragement, number one, the description. Look what it says. When we are encouraging, the Lord says, the Lord is my rock, in verse 2, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. So when David is saying these words, he is encouraged in the Lord. He's optimistic of who God is. You see, when we discouraged, even God seems like he's miles away. Lord, where are you? Oh, you don't care. You don't love me. If you love me, you wouldn't let me be this way. But when we encourage, guess what happens? We look at God and say, that's who He is. That's what David was saying here. So David was optimistic about in this verse right here. Do you see how he uses God with optimism? Listen, when we encourage and we see God with great optimism, oh, He becomes great to us and great in our lives. Because now we can overcome those mountains. Now we can overcome those obstacles. So discouragement makes us pessimist in many aspects of our lives, but encouragement makes us see life in a better perspective. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The thing for you is this: where do you encourage yourself in? If I have money in the bank, I'm encouraged. If I have a good job, I'm encouraged. If I have this, I'm encouraged. If I don't have those things, oh, goodness, I'm not encouraged. I'm discouraged. Where's God? Blame God for your problems. Well, the Apostle Paul was in prison. We look at him this morning a little bit. And he actually was executed. And he didn't get out of that prison. But guess what? But he says, he tells us in the scriptures that he was satisfied. He was right, joyful, right where he was. Isn't that amazing for a person to say that? You know, he's a person that totally trusts in God. So number two, the assurance right here. What does the optimism of discouraged? So we see the description, we see the assurance. Look what it says. I will call upon the Lord. It's verse three. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So he says, when I'm discouraged, that's what I do. I will call upon the Lord. You know why? Because the Lord hears. That's the conclusion of David right here. I think David gave us a wonderful example right here, what we should do when we discouraged. Great verses right here. When we encouraged, that's who God is. That's the way we should look God at every time. This is a reminder. So because discouragement can hit us in any given moment, keep those verses at close hand. So when you're discouraged, go search for them. Read, meditate on those words, and now who God is, what David's trying to say here to us. And guess what? We will encourage ourselves in the Lord. All right, I said it was going to be short. It is short. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone discouraged here tonight, or even on